Once again, we want to welcome to all of you and thank you for joining us for this Holy Mass tonight on the feast of St. Elizabeth and Stephen. And this is the Christmas season, so we still carry on the theme of Christmas Day, and it's just like we're celebrating Christmas once again this evening. Welcome home. And I commend Father Kevin and Chris Green, our seminarian, for chanting the readings of God's first reading, seldom done in most parishes, and that's because it kind of a fear on the part of priests and on the part of our electors to do that. But I commend you and training you to do that, because singing uplifts us all. I know I had to get over that fear myself, make a mistake, but it's rare that you would hear the gospel chanted or the first reading some as well. So I commend all of you for helping encourage that in parishes throughout the country. So today we celebrate the feast of the great St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, who was born 2 years before the start of the American Revolution. She died in 1821. As you all know, she was a wife and a mother. His husband died when she was just 30 years old. She was left penniless with 5 small children. Convert to Catholicism, she formed a band of women who taught school at the, Boston area first, eventually certainly Baltimore, and then founded a religious community in 1809. Not a mystic, not a stigmatic, stating this, she did not prophesy or speak in tongues, but she had 2 great devotions that should be common to all of us. The first was abandonment to the Word of God, and the second was an ardent love for the Holy Eucharist. She told a friend, Julia Scott, that she would prefer to exchange the world for a cave or desert, but God has given me a great deal to do, and I've always hoped always to prefer His will to every wish of my own. How often we find ourselves in situations where we wish we other than what we're doing, our own will be there, but we know this is where God has called us to be. And so she was one of those people who held up abandonment to the will of God as central to the religious community she founded. I happened to catch during this Christmas season on EWTN a beautiful Christmas story. You don't usually find in theaters. It didn't make it big time. It was put out in the early 1980s. It's called A Time to Remember. And it had a religious theme in it. It had the Blessed Mother in it. And it was a Catholic who was the producer. And he since died. But he didn't change it put on, I believe, every year. It's called A Time to Remember. It's a fictional story. It centers on a man visiting the grave of a priest who helped mentor him early on as a singer, and it's a flashback. And as a child, he had a great voice, and he wanted to imitate Mario Lanza and the great Italian tenor Caruso. He himself, in the story, was an American Italian. He was brought up with a sense of appreciation for music. The father, unfortunately, did not promote his son in going the way of music. He thought it was not a manly thing for his son to do. But the priest, who's played in the movie by Donald O'Connor, leads a boys' choir in the parish until a heart condition leads to his death. And once again, the boy is thwarted in his desire to do what he thought was God's call for him. To develop his voice as a good singer. The boy's grandmother doesn't agree with the boy's father, her son, and tries to stop her son from criticizing her grandson for being a good singer. Well, the drama plays out in a way that the father eventually supports the boy's desire for a career in singing and becomes a famous singer. Now, what does the life of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton have to do with the movie A Time to Remember? As I mentioned, Mother Seton emphasized always doing what And in the movie, the young boy senses his life call to use his voice to glorify God. He had a great voice, and people were not even trying to suppress it. He was the star singer of the boys' choir, and the choir boys gave him a lot of time because he was the best. They too tried to deflect him from his natural talent, which was a gift from God. But the boy has a sense that this was his call in life. This was God's will for him. And as the movie indicates, the boy turns out to be right, and he fulfills his vocation in life. Well, certainly life points out to us God's will and his way for us. As we are seeking the good, the true, and the beautiful, God is that perfect good, that perfect truth, and the perfection of beauty. As we are drawn into the good, the true, and the beautiful, we are drawn in closer to God, closer to the sacred. Dogmatic theology helps us to come to grips with the true, moral theology with good, and philosophy and spiritual theology in a special way with the beautiful. Beauty is in creation. It is in nature. It is in art. It is in architecture. And indeed, it is in music. I had the privilege of taking piano lessons when I was a little kid. My older brother and I started off. He quit early, and then later in life, regretted that he wasn't able to come back to that. He was a doctor, an orthopedic surgeon. And it would have been a nice balance to his life to be able to sit down at a piano. But he gave it up. He was distracted with other things. He probably felt it wasn't the manly thing to do. Well, you great people lead us to pray through the music that complements our life of prayer, especially in our sacred liturgies. Your gifts and talents help us to experience the beauty of poetry, set to beautiful music, in the ways the psalmists did for the people of Israel, and the great composers did, whose music we're listening to and singing in today's Mass. You're like that merchant in search of fine pearls of today's gospel. You go to great lengths to find that perfect pearl, the perfect musical score to give honor and glory to God. And why do you look for perfection, the perfect one? Because in the spirit of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, you consider everything in life as secondary, just the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Like St. Paul, for your sake and God's sake, you have accepted the loss of all things that you may gain Christ and may be found in him. Christ has become the central focus of your lives, and your gifts and talents are directed in service of him, the pearl of great price. I join my brother bishops, our clergy, our religious, and laity of our church in America, in thanking you for the great gifts and talents that you share as musicians in our church, helping us to enhance our life of prayer and lead us through prayer and chant and song to a closer relationship to God and to one another. And we pray that that occurs in this Holy Mass as we are inspired by the great music that we sing today. May you always be faithful to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit who guide you in your great efforts, and also the inspiration of your human spirit to bring out the finest music possible, some of the best manner possible, so that the people in the pews may experience in a fuller way the presence of God, to whom we give glory and praise in this Holy Mass, now and forever. Amen. Welcome and God bless you.